Welcome back, everyone, to part two of that classic rock show broadcasting on WHRULP 101.5 FM and on demand 24/7. Today we are talking about singers in rock groups, but not the main singer. It's kind of one of the other people in the band who are singing the lead song.
Well, I get to talk about one of my favorite bands of all time. And Willie Dixon wrote the song Hoochie Coochie Man, and it's been recorded by so many artists such as Muddy Waters, Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, and even Steppenwolf. So when the Allman Brothers decided to record their version for the album Idlewild South, they already had one of the best blues voices in Greg Allman. But it was decided that bassist Barry Oakley should do the honors, and he nailed it. With a voice sounding much like the great Johnny Winter, Oakley's vocal is as good as it gets.
Mark, is this the only song that Barry sang on for the Allman Brothers?
Well, yeah. He did backup vocals and harmonizing, which is a shame because he really had some good pipes, as you'll hear when we listen to the song. And unfortunately, he died far too young to get other opportunities to sing. The reason he was elected to sing this song was he and Richard Betts played in the band Second Coming together when they did the song. And as one would expect, the Allman's version rocks at a faster pace than the Muddy version. When listening to the song, pay particular attention to the loose and lively bass lines that Barry Oakley was known for. Bass Player magazine called him one of the best rock bass players of all time. Add dueling percussion from Butch Trux and J-Mo, and the dual lead guitars of Dickie Betts and Duane Allman, and you have another Allman Brothers classic. Rolling Stone magazine once called the Allman Brothers the best band in the land. Here is Hoochie Coochie Man. We'll be right back.
Mark, I got to say, that is the best rendition of Hoochie Coochie Man ever recorded.
I totally agree. Oh. You know, he sounds like Johnny Winter. I mean, it's uncanny.
It is uncanny. And you know why he's so talented?
Because he was born in Chicago.
That's right. He was raised in Park Forest.
That's right. Another Chicago connection. And that's another reason why we have the new Illinois Rock and Roll Museum. So many great musicians with ties to Illinois. For those listening with headphones, just as a note, that was Duane Allman on the right side and Dickie Betts on the left side. Jim, you have another American band to talk about.
That's a good lead-in, Mark. Good job. Out of Flint, Michigan came a hard rock and louder than anything band that blew the roof off many a stadium. They toured constantly and played to sold-out crowds. The fans loved them, but not so the critics, and, you know, it took the critics a while to like them.
They sold out Shea Stadium in 72 hours and tied the Beatles record for the most people attending a concert at that time, which is amazing.
Yeah. The sound of the band was refined when they asked Todd Rundgren to produce their music. The first albums with Rundgren in charge were an American Band, which came out in 73, and Shinin' On came out the following year. With Todd's guidance, the band secured their first number one hit with the single We're an American Band. Guitarist Mark Farner was Grand Funk's primary vocalist, but drummer Don Brewer began contributing more lead vocals. And as the song's writer, it was logical that he would sing the lead vocals. So he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The lyrics are somewhat autobiographical when he sings about playing cards with bluesman Freddie King, one of their heroes, and remarks about groupies. And, we won't talk about the groupies.
Yeah, we won't mention her name.
But anyway, here's We're an American Band by Grand Funk Railroad.
Last night in Little Rock, put me to hate.
And that was We're an American Band by Grant Funk with Don Brewer on lead vocals. And Mark, did you know that he also plays drum with the Bob Seger Band when they go on tour?
So
he's very popular, another Michigan guy. But I'm sure that you do know this, that their power trio became a foursome when they added keyboardist Craig Frost during this album. But do you know who they asked first before him to join the band?
Me?
Yeah. No, it wasn't you.
No, I don't know.
They asked Peter Frampton.
You mean they were going to add another guitar player?
They were
going to
add a second guitar player, right?
Okay, okay.
Well, I think Frampton did the right thing.
Well, he did.
He did good on his own,
didn't he?
Yeah. Well, anyway, you are listening to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio 101.5 FM and 24/7 on demand from anywhere, I mean anywhere, even Michigan, in the world.
As long as you have an internet connection.
That's true.
The Marshall Tucker Band hailed out of Spartanburg, South Carolina. No one in the band, obviously, is named Marshall Tucker, as I hope everyone knows by now. The way the name came about was the guys found a key in the rehearsal space that was inscribed with the name of a blind piano tuner, and his name was Marshall Tucker. The friendship of lead guitarist Toy Caldwell, singer Doug Gray, rhythm guitarist George McCorkle, and saxophone flute player Jerry Eubanks began when they played together on the football and basketball teams in high school, and they soon discovered they had a common love of music. The Marshall Tucker Band was one of the leaders in the Southern rock sound. With almost all of their songs written by guitarist Toy Caldwell, the band fused bluegrass and country with little jazz, R&B, gospel, and folk to create a sound all their own.
You know, and one thing I liked about Toy, that his guitar sound was made by plucking his guitar strings with his rapid thumb movements. He played with his thumb, not a pick. And the result was a fuller tone. Yeah, with a lot of bite on his Gibson Les Paul.
Yeah, he had one of those signature tones. Based on the recommendation from Jimmy Hall, who was the lead singer of the Southern R&B band Wet Willie, Marshall Tucker played a gig in Macon, Georgia for future producer Paul Hornsby. Hornsby liked what he heard. He had them record a demo and brought it to Capricorn Records, where the band was promptly signed. They developed a strong following by constant touring and opening for acts like fellow Capricorn recording artists the Allman Brothers, as well as ZZ Top and Joe Walsh. Their 1973 debut album contained many memorable songs, and in particular, Can't You See? The song ranks at or near the top of every best Southern rock song list. Although the band had a great lead singer in Doug Gray, he felt that Toy's voice was better suited to this song, and it's hard to argue with this timeless classic. So let's listen to Can't You See?
I'm gonna cry.
Pretty song. By the way, the webzine Ultimate Classic Rock has ranked this song as the best Southern rock song of all time. The Marshall Tucker Band still tours with Doug Gray as the only original member. Jim, it's time for our final song. What do we got?
Well, before the final song, Doug Gray I got to meet, and he did pose with our book, so which is pretty cool.
Nice man.
Very nice man. Yeah. Well, our final song is from a band called Queen. Did you ever hear Queen, Mark?
Queen of England.
Yeah, no, but this is the rock band Queen. They even made a movie.
Of course.
And in 1976, they made an album called A Night at the Opera, and that was their fourth studio album, and reportedly at the time the most expensive album ever recorded. The album had complex production values with multiple tracks and a diverse range of styles such as Dixieland, hard rock, prog rock, and ballads. You know, a true Queen album.
Wow.
And, of course, the classic Bohemian Rhapsody, which we aren't going to play here. Everyone knows it by heart anyway. Sorry, Mark.
That's all right.
Okay, so you have Freddie Mercury in your band, Mark, okay? He's one of the greatest rock singers of all time. How do you approach him and say or ask, can I have lead vocals on this next song?
You're going to tell us.
I guess I will. Well, Queen was pretty open to the idea of sharing lead vocals. Both Brian May and Roger Taylor did so on occasion. Their song 39 was written and sung by guitarist Brian May. It was also released as a B-side single to the song You're My Best Friend.
Here's a cool story, Jim. Queen named their album A Night at the Opera after the Marx Brothers movie of the same name. I love the Marx Brothers. Groucho heard about this and invited the band to his home where they personally sang the song 39 a cappella. Can you imagine that?
That's pretty cool.
Come on over to my house and do a personal show for me.
Yeah. And you know, their next album was called A Day at the Races, which was another Marx Brothers movie. So obviously they like the Marx Brothers. May calls the song 39 his attempt to create a sci-fi skiffle type song with lyrics that tell the story about space explorers who were gone for 100 years.
Huh?
Yeah, a little weird. But the Queen were pioneers. So let's listen to 39 with Brian May on lead vocals.
Sight ever seen, and the night full of day. never fear, never cry. Don't you hear my
was 39 by Queen with Brian May on the lead vocals. And their album, A Night at the Opera from 1976, is one of the best albums of all time. And for all you kids out there, if you're just learning about classic rock music, this is one of the first albums you should buy.
Yeah, it should be part of your collection.
Mark, do you think we should sing our closing since we don't have good voices?
Jim, we're supposed to attract listeners, not lose them.
All right, we won't sing. Folks at home, you are lucky.
Yeah, particularly not hearing me sing.
That's right. Well, anyway, that's our show for today. We hope you enjoyed it. Please join Mark and me every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 or Fridays from 11 to noon. Or you can listen to our recorded shows anytime on the station's website, huntleyradio.com.
Our book, Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, is available on Amazon and online at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66.
And to view my classic rock photography, please visit my website, jimsumariaphoto.com. You can also stop by Hey Nani in Arlington Heights to view my photo exhibit of 1970s classic rock artists. Mark and I are also on Facebook. You know, please friend us. And we'll keep listeners up to date on our activities.
That's right. You've been listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM, and on demand anywhere in the world, including Memphis and Nashville, Tennessee. And a shout out to my wife, Paducah, Kentucky, where my wife was born. Nice little town on the way to Nashville.
All right, my wife was born in Evanston. So I'm gonna say...
well, that's a nice little town, too.
That's true. Okay. All right, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you.